there's been so much construction and building happening in South Australia in recent years, but how long are these structures considered to last? Senior architect Gerald Matthews, the Managing Director at Matthews Architects, joins me to discuss. Hi, Gerald.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. Now, we used to invest in really long-lasting structures. Are the buildings we make now as sturdy as they used to be?
We know a lot more about structural engineering than we used to, but it seems like every time we learn some new trick, we forget some old trick. And a lot of modern construction is built around the idea of reinforced concrete. So you put steel inside the concrete. And it's amazing how many scientists are sort of saying there's a timeline to that technology, because the steel will rust eventually, and then the concrete will break apart, and then it will essentially collapse. So any modern building built out of steel-reinforced concrete has a lifespan. That's a sobering thought, considering that's almost every modern building.
Yeah, what kind of lifespan are we talking?
Depending on the concrete and the steel, I've heard scientists claim that it's anywhere from 100 years to 150 years. Now, that might sound like it's a long time, but it's worth bearing in mind that one of the oldest concrete structures in the world, the Parthenon, is still standing. Mm. And, you know, that's early Roman era.
Wow. Right. So is part of that kind of a planned obsolescence thing, the knowledge that maybe it will be knocked down, so you may as well?
I think some of this is the infatuation with the economy of it. It's much more efficient to build a building in this format. And it's not a new technology. We've had this for like 100 and something years now. And I think we just don't want to talk about the idea that it won't last forever. But very few buildings, I guess, can last forever. Even timber frame construction. There are very, very old timber buildings all around the world. But they're typically buildings that were built to last centuries and require sort of constant maintenance. And one of the other strange modern phenomenons is we tend not to design buildings as much as we should in order to be infinitely maintained. You know, it's kind of like granddad's axe, you know, 5 new handles, 3 new blades, but it's the same axe. And buildings aren't really designed anymore to be constantly sort of renewed so that the building is still there.
Right. So does this concern you at all?
I think it's worrying from an ecological point of view, but what fascinates me more is the psychological disposition towards this, because I think we've gone through an era where new things are expected all of the time. And I guess I'm talking about the last sort of century and a half or so. Let's talk post-industrial revolution, where we expect the rate of invention to keep accelerating. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I think I was promised hover cars and robot butlers, and I'm sure we all grew up with the Jetsons thinking, you know, we can imagine it. Surely the world's going to be like this pretty soon. And in a way, there's a bit of a counter movement back towards the appreciation for ancient knowledge, for more long-term and lasting ideas than, you know, should my sneakers let me jump 3 meters off the ground and should breakfast make itself for me?
Right. With us at the moment is Senior Architect Gerald Matthews. We're talking about the longevity of buildings and how structures aren't lasting as long as they used to back from Roman times, the way that they're being built. You mentioned sort of a movement against that. Are there many architects in South Australia who are trying to buck that trend and make more lasting structures, Gerald?
I would say that fundamentally the profession of architecture in general is trying to deliver investment in lasting buildings. But it is a very common question now as to, well, how long is long enough? And is it going to cost more to build things that last longer? And what if we build something that we don't need in 50 years' time? Have we then wasted that effort? There is quite a movement, particularly in South Australia, I think, to really consider the long term. And some of that is because architecture firms like my own can kind of see that we're at the beginning of a very long history. And in a different time scale, I guess you could say that we're in the middle of an even longer history. That, you know, South Australia as a, and I guess I'm talking post-colonial, because I'm not qualified to talk about pre-colonial. Post-colonial history, we're at the very start of it. Like Adelaide as a settled, colonized city is not even 200 years old yet. That makes it very young, and that makes it easy to think we should be designing things that are still here in another few hundred years' time. But the economies of buildings have changed now. It's cheaper to build a building now than it ever has been in history. That seems strange, but there was an era where only kings and emperors and queens and the elite and the royalty could afford to build a building that would last. Everyone else was essentially building buildings that would, you know, hopefully renew and get maintained, but they're cottages and huts. It was only the very wealthy people in the world, barely a handful, that could afford buildings that would last. And now kind of everyone can afford buildings that will last at least a little bit. But therefore, it makes it a bit easier for us to ignore the environmental impact of not designing things to be constantly adapted and renewed and built upon. Fast fashion, when it comes to architecture, is a dangerous idea, because buildings consume a lot of environmental credit when we build.
So you're better off looking at ways that the house can be more of like an eco-hut sort of thing and utilise the warmth from the sun and the cool from being underground, things like that.
Yeah. Reducing the energy that a building uses over its lifetime is just as important, perhaps more important, depending on where you are, than the energy used to create the building. But it's still true to say that when you eventually reach the end of the useful life of that building, or when it deteriorates and you demolish it, you're still losing all of the energy that went into creating it. So the more you can do to adapt existing buildings or old buildings, the better it is for the environment. But that concept is getting harder and harder as the expectations increase around what we expect our buildings to do for us. Like the idea of home automation, like that was even in the Jetsons, the idea that, you know, your bed's going to fold itself up and the kitchen's going to come alive and your home would do things for you automatically. And now we actually can do that relatively cheaply. So the expectation of what a new building should do for you compared to an old building it's a bit of an arms race here.
Yeah, right. And then what about technologies like 3D printing and things like that, which could potentially make it easier to pump out buildings quite quickly?
Yeah, there's already 3D concrete printing technologies around the world that are essentially printing houses. That's a gross oversimplification in a way, because what it's doing is printing mass concrete. But ironically, because it's mass concrete, this is the same technology that's built the Parthenon thousands of years ago. So perhaps there is a sense in which this new technology will get us back to a much older construction technique.
Well, looking forward to having a chat in future. Thanks for joining us to share your thoughts about the longevity of buildings. Gerald Matthews.
Great to talk to you.